Well, I'm the surgeon, not the butcher. Glad I didn't shut you down. Well, I don't care what anyone says. There's room for us both in this here town.
Right. Hey, welcome to Ideas and Identity Podcast. My name is J. Michael Hudson. I'm here with the Childish Adults. You guys want to go around and introduce yourselves?
Yo, my name is Throwback.
I'm Joey Ellis.
Yo, I'm Revere Inferno.
Oh, well, yeah, we also got E here. That's Revere's brother, right? He's reluctant to take the attention. You can chime in. Don't feel like you're a ghost or something. Well, that's fun. Yeah, the Childish Adults are a hip-hop group, Kansas City, and they've been getting out in the scene a lot. I saw them last Saturday at a really sweet party. We had fun. We were dancing it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was a cool party. Shout out to Sarah Glass.
Yeah, happy birthday. Did you guys have a good time at that show? How'd it go?
You know what? That was an excellent show. I think, one of the biggest shows we've done, and it was cool. It was fun. It was in an interesting place. It was a lot of surprises. Also, I didn't know it was going to be that kind of show at all.
That was my first burlesque show. Okay. So I was very excited.
I'm sorry. Is it burlesque?
Burlesque.
Yeah, burlesque.
Okay. Burlesque.
We got to put the sk on the end.
I had a girl smell my hand and really connect with me. And then since I had to go into stage mode, she got scared of me and she stopped talking to me. That's what happened. But she really connected with me. She's like, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it because it was such a connection.
Well, you'll see her again. You got to keep your fingers crossed. I mean, the hand smelling, it's pretty hot.
I know, I added her.
That's intense.
I added her on Facebook, but she didn't talk back, so I just...
You need to think about that. She wants to know where your hands have been.
That's deep. Man. She wanted, and then I got on stage, and then she was too afraid.
She's shy. She revealed too much.
Oh, no. She wasn't shy. Nah, she just got scared.
I see.
You talking about she wasn't shy.
So do you think that she, her attitude kind of changed towards you when she saw that you were going to be on stage and you got that attention?
I think it may have been that, or it may have been the fact that I was really calm when I was talking to her, and then I went from zero to really high. I just started laughing hysterically. And she kind of her eyes got big and didn't know how to handle it, and then since then she just kind of avoided me.
I'm seeing a little anime cartoon, a manga style, with the big eyeballs, laughing hysterically for no reason.
That's
hand smelling. I mean,
people don't realize when I'm about to get on stage that my adrenaline shoots up really high, and that's why I'm able to do all those weird things I do.
Do your palms get sweaty?
No.
Shakes, no little jitters.
Only when we're not performing and we're just ready to get back on stage, where's the mic? That's it though. No, I don't think none of us get really nervous.
Have you guys always been performers, when you were growing up and stuff?
I've been doing it since I was five, man, just as far as just vocal, performance, but...
Me and Revere were in the church choir together for 12 years,
All right.
That's where...
Singing Old Holy Night, all that
Revere
Christmas
used to do solos all the time.
And solos, too. Yep. Also, you guys sing, also, not just rap.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely singing incorporated into the music, too,
Okay, I haven't heard all your whole catalog and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, when we get down, we'll definitely check some stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then, also, the course of conversation, be thinking of some kind of, quick project we could throw together in, half an hour to an hour that would, and generally, make the world a better place, say something that otherwise isn't being said.
Mm-hmm.
The course of conversation, talk about ideas, what's going on in the world. And that's... I was reading this Wikipedia article about this obscure actor that I really enjoyed in a show in the 90s called Northern Exposure. And his daughter, he's an older guy, and his daughter said after he died that he'd become an artist and just an obscure stage actor for the longest time. Then he finally was on a TV show when he was 70.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how I heard about him and saw him on the show. Mm-hmm. He said that artists always, the world, the normal world isn't enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's something missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they want to, they just have to throw into the mix. Otherwise, you stay up at night and get these shakes like you're talking about. I know I'm that way. So, when did you start noticing that in your life that you were...
That something was missing?
That you wanted... If you didn't add something to it, then it wasn't fun for you.
Kid, man. I was a kid.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like for me, I think it's always been there. But I guess when I really started maybe trying to do something about it, I was like grown. I was an adult, you know, like I used to want, there were, I didn't have music stuff in my house like that, and I used to always want it, but I didn't have money for it. But once I got a job, that was like one of the first things I did was I went and bought like a turntable that was like $800, didn't even need it. I don't even use it, and I've never seen that. I don't know where that equipment is at right now. But, you know, that was the first thing I got. And I don't know, I think it's always been there, even when I wasn't performing. Like, I was always like, in, I knew there was something else that I wanted to do. I
just, like, there was never a time where you thought maybe, you know, I should just get a 401k, you know, lock it into Cerner up here, you know. Just being
that was never that. Just simply because my pops was always, he was in a band here. He was a local artist. They branched out. They signed to a label in Minnesota, Perspective Records, a band called Low Key. And they had been doing it since I was born. And so everything that was around me was music. So, I didn't really have much choice but to pick it up. And I would hear things. And I would hear melodies that, you know, I would make up. That I didn't understand that I was making them up, but it was just like funny stuff that I would hear in my mind. But I was writing songs, and I didn't know. But you know, I started rhyming in eighth grade, you know, because I thought, you know, that singing was kind of lame, man. You know,
kind of exposed.
I was a neighborhood kid, so I didn't want to be a sucker. So like, you know, I went to school, and they started MCing, man. You know, we was in a band, me and my brother E, we was in a band, and that's how I started making music.
Why do you think that is in seventh grade, being a singer, unless you're like, of course, like that, you know, like super duper, it's seen as like, you know, you have a wuss, question marks.
Well,
but when you get to be 25 and you're John Legend, everyone's like, you know, lining up.
That's how it always is. Nobody notices it, you know, when you developing and working on it. Like, you know, the nerdy kid becomes a doctor and got himself set up when he's 26, 27, 28 years old, and then he went it. You know? So it's just how it goes. You just got to, you know, keep your head tucked in and wait your time.
It's just keep working. Man. It's just
don't even be focused on all that anyway. You know what I mean?
Little masculine thing.
Do you guys consider yourself a hip-hop group?
We utilize hip-hop as a...
I think it's a derivative of hip-hop, kind of. But like, it's a lot of things.
I think hip-hop is... the usage to be expansive. You know?
It's a bigger umbrella term.
But because we're rapping on the songs, it's always going to get called hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to explain it to somebody, we have to put that in so they can fully understand it. But it's not necessarily, you know, just hip hop. But it is hip hop too. Yes,
people are easily thrown off by the fact that there's a underlying rhythm behind, like people writing, and they always like immediately correlate it. Like, oh, he's just rapping. Spewing, Poe is spew. That's what it is.
But you're trying to have a more expansive view of it. Like, it's, you know, there's it's not just rapping. And it's
alternative. It's jazz. It's
art.
Classic rock influences. It's blues. It's art. It's a lot. It's a mixture of a lot of things.
I've always liked this. They said it about the original. The Poe, I heard this originally, was kind of evil. Like, they said it about George Bush, the president, in 2000 to 2008. They were like, we're just going to do it, and you guys analyze it later.
Yeah.
You know? They were saying that. That's what they were doing. I was like, I can do that. Yeah, that's a good attitude. You know, we'll be like, if you're for an artist, it's really what you got to do. You can't be concerned with how everything's going to be categorized at the moment of creation, otherwise you're bogging yourself down.
Yeah, definitely.
So but it's then difficult. You got to go on there on SoundCloud, and you got to say, what category of music is this?
Awkward at that point. I'm like, I don't know if I belong any of these.
Yeah.
My influence.
Or all of them.
You know, all of them. Or for real, when I make stuff, I feel like it's like I just want to stem from my spirit. You know, and so whatever happens, it's just like, it probably did stem from a lot of the stuff that I listen to, but it's like they stem from just doing, you know, a lot of stuff just came from people just trying stuff. You know?
So, like, what type of stuff do you guys like write songs about?
Girls.
A lot of girls. We'll draw a pie chart, right? And it'll be half just girls.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. You
that's
know?
All. That's got to love is a popular topic for the ages.
Yeah.
Love never dies, so we got to keep talking about it. I thought I didn't want to talk about it then. Now I got something to say about it, too. Because I don't like it either.
Everyone's perspective, man. So it's like there's always something to talk about because everybody's living their own life.
Yeah, as long as you're living and breathing, you got a song to make. And some of our stuff, you know, our name is, we call it Childish Jokes for a reason. We have a lot of fun on the track. It's real, it's playful but serious because it's kind of like, it's like we're touching on topics that are, you know, of importance to you, but we just come at them in a lighter way. It's not so in your face. It's just like, just enjoy the song. But think about what I'm saying, though. Enjoy the song, you know what I'm saying? It's more,
right.
It's kind of laid back. It's kind of, it's house party music.
You know, like, you know, Mostaf, Wyclef Jean, you know, those guys, they, well, there's a political element sometimes comes out, you know. I mean, do you guys ever have a political tip or something like that? Like, anything that's, like, mad at the system or anything like that? Or
try not to be. I try not to do that because it's cliche, but, like, I be, like, wanting to, you know, I when I'm by myself, I try hard to do it, but, like, it, you know, it's hard to, you know, to kind of convey that in the relative stuff, you know. Or stuff that's more absorbable on a day to day.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'd like to keep. I like Childish Adults from its goofy nature, and when it comes to politics and stuff, like when Tupac came out, it actually did something. And I don't really want to do political stuff. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't want to do political stuff unless it actually might do something in an innovative way.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you just end up being like, oh, he's doing the Tupac thing. Or he's doing
he's
not really doing anything new for it. Mm-hmm. Oh, the streets are bad. You know,
but, the streets are bad.
I could talk about that, but it wouldn't really...
People relate.
One guy I've really been impressed with a lot, Mostaf, is one of my favorites. He's always been able to... Did he really?
South Africa.
For doing what?
Like yesterday or something like that. For a fake passport.
Fake passport.
He had some, like, issue like a world passport.
A world passport?
You know, he's been living over there, though.
Yeah.
I just
That's
saw
crazy.
Him.
I seen something of Mos Def.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, bro.
Fake passport, the fake passport, or a... He had a passport that was like just kind of
and
like
it had a world passport in quotations on it. I didn't read the whole article.
Oh my god.
It's Yasin Bey. I'm a bad. I'm gonna call him Yasin. I'm gonna call him what he wanna be called. Yasin Bey.
Mama called him.
Right, Yasin Bey. Right. Sorry about that.
Hey, the streets call him Mos Def. I'm calling him Mos Def. I'm calling him Mos Def.
What's a hot topic in it then? Huh. I wasn't aware of that. He was outside of the country as much, but a lot of his stuff has really inspired me, you know, all over the world. Hearts pound with the rhythm, fear not of men because men must die, my, you know, heart, mind over matter means soul before flesh. Like all that stuff, that stuff that's been really moving to me. Or you talked about, like, people talk about hip-hop, like it's a giant living in the hills. And how's it going with you? You know, like, that's how hip-hop's going. And that's, but that really kind of changed my approach to a couple things when I heard that. And so he's moved me, and I can't say, you know. But there's also, sometimes you can just be an entertainer, you know, then other times I wonder, as an artist, me personally, then when do I take on some responsibility for being a public voice in a time when some shit's going down or things that are, you know, against the, do you guys, how do you guys, you know, do you, when things get weird, like about Ferguson or whatnot, do you feel like you get to speak up or do you feel like, you know, this isn't my, you know?
I personally feel like it's everybody's personal choice, but at the same time, like, you don't have to wait for a situation to happen. Like, you can be on the day-to-day helping out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all types of service that you can do. And as long as, you know, you're doing your part, nobody's to say, well, you should say this at this time, or why didn't you say this at this time? Because that you might not be comfortable. You might not have an opinion on it. You might not want your opinion on it out. Or you might want it out. But, you know, I think when the time comes to speak up and we feel like it's appropriate for us to, you know, be a part of it, this has some something to do with us, or maybe don't have nothing to do with us, but we connect with it and identify with it, and we agree that, you know, we want to do this about it. We definitely will, you know, stand up and speak up and support, you know, other communities, other artists, you know, whatever the situation may be. So,
Personally, I kind of try to stay away from activism. Not that it isn't a good cause, but I feel like there are a lot of scary, tiny little things that come with activism. Usually, I heard this quote that when you're fighting a monster, you have to be careful not to become the monster yourself. And some of the things that I've heard people say kind of dabbles into, oh, we gotta fight back. But how far fight back does some of these, because sometimes they get kind of nasty. and it kind of sounds like they're just classifying. That's what it is. It's classifications. Because I've seen a lot of that on Facebook where they'll be, it'll be cops versus thugs. It'll be white people versus black people, or guys versus girls, or just you accidentally start classifying everyone. It's kind of like Magneto and Charles Xavier. Like, some people are like Charles Xavier. Well, they'd be like, well, it's good mutants and good people versus bad people and bad mutants. Well, some people are like Magneto, and there's like all of you. You end up just classifying everybody. Everybody that's black, everybody that's white, everybody that's a guy is just going to try to hump you.
And
that's why I try to stay away. One of the reasons I stay away from activism, other than the fact that trying to put a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery.
It's hard to be an artist and conquer that at the same time, too. So it's like, you know, coming from the artist's perspective, you know, you have to take it one song at a time, you know. And so even if that circumstance does come, you know, you can't just, like, you know, propel yourself to just make a song just because something happened. So, you know, you never know how to hit you at that time.
Everybody has their own lane, too.
Yeah.
Britney Spears sounds kind of, you know, see, but everybody do got a responsibility, though, to a certain extent, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just set an example.
Even if it's the way
in some kind of way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm.
Especially you got a name, and you out like that, and you got it like that,
So speaking out when something happened ain't the only way, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Helping out at the community centers is another way, you know?
And then you're starting out, you know, you don't want to, like, pull all this, like, positive and negative attention for all this, mm-hmm. you know, or be manipulated mm-hmm. or manipulate that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that you can't get ahead of yourself. It's one of the great puzzles for me of artistry is when does that flip, you know, once you've toured the country a couple of times, once you're first in People magazine, now I have a podium that now everyone has to listen to what I and then there's some people who do that and they're really kind of gross about it, and it does seem like it's self-aggrandizing. There's people like that Chinese guy, that Wu Wei artist, who, you know, really is, I think, through his art trying to, you know, bring freedom to the Chinese people, and there's this like poetically political element to it that is so sophisticated.
I think, like, the reason why maybe some artists do that too is because, like, for anybody to listen to, you gotta make a name for yourself first, because all anybody's ever gonna say is, why should I listen to what you gotta say? But if you built yourself up in whatever instance, if it's music or if it's, you know, a basketball player, whatever the thing is that you go out and do, you gotta make a name for yourself, for somebody to be like, okay, this person know what he's talking about, or maybe he know what he's talking about, because he got that far. So
you gotta bring the goods first.
But that music is generally relativity, and so, like, how many, like, politician MCs do you know? You know, so you got a real small target audience at that point. So it's like, you gotta like pull the elements out that reach everybody in that political issue, because that's what makes it political, you know, because we all, it's a social issue, and so we all should be able to chop it up in a comfortable way about it.
Yeah, and if you're hungry, and I say I'm coming to help, I don't want to come with a slice of bread, I want to come with a meal.
Yeah,
so
I see.
Awesome.
Thanks for sharing all that. That's definitely a solid perspective. So when you guys are coming up with a song, does it start with the words, or does it start with, like, the melody first?
It's different every time.
Every time.
Yeah, everything is different.
Could start.
How you do it? How you be doing it?
It could start walking in the mall, looking at a girl. It could start at the mall, singing the song, come on, and turn into a jam.
I've seen it both ways, where it's been a phrase. That's the chorus. These three words are the chorus of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to sing that word in a bunch of different ways, and I play with it. Other times, it's like I'll come up with a melody. I'll hear a melody first, and I'll be like, "What words go with that melody?" And then, so I've seen it both directions like that. That where, you know, but the actual moment of Genesis is always mysterious. I could never teach a class on it. You know, where it's that's the mystery of the human mind.
Yeah.
And the artistry. Josh Whedon, the guy who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, and a bunch of shows on TV. He was on an NPR, This American Life show, and he sang the song called "Pick, Pick, Pick It Apart," where, for, like, all the Buffy episodes that he did, he had to do all these interviews for, the voiceover, the director's track. Like, you watch the show, but listening to the writer talking at the same time, and he's like, these people just want to pick it apart, like, every single element. Why did this character do that? Well, like, until they're actually taking apart his brain, looking inside of it, looking for electrons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
I hate that.
right? You can't just enjoy it.
Just let it fly, be a fly, man.
Right.
I kind of disagree. I like the
That's what I'm about to say. This stuff gets fun.
Some instances.
Gets fun. Dude. Like the new Star Wars. Like I'm hella into that. So the whole breaking it down, like I love it. I'm hella on YouTube breaking it down.
Analyze the whole thing.
Yeah.
The story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the movie, by all means.
But I'm looking at it from another perspective. I can see that being.
If you're the writer and someone's like camping out in your backyard looking inside over your shoulder to see what you're writing on the screen so they know what happens in the next episode.
Yeah, that's
And they're like, what do you have for breakfast? Oh, something spicy. That's going to make it.
Have you seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy?
Okay,
you know the character Root?
Root.
Yeah. You know his baby or his little.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's that last scene where he was dancing and that. I don't know what the big blue.
Yeah.
What was the big blue guy's name? With the tats on. Anyway, anytime he would turn, the little twig would stop dancing, right? Mm. And I read an article saying what the possible reasons for that was because the blue guy was a killer and didn't believe in, you know, bootsy stuff, so if he would have seen the little twig guy dancing, he probably would have killed him.
Damn.
Which completely just changes the scene. Like, at first, you're just enjoying it from that aspect. So, like, knowing those little insights just lets you see things from a whole different perspective.
The underlying
level. Like, whoa, that just completely changed my whole reason for thinking. May even change the way you see a song.
Sometimes,
I guess we have to find balance, and there's not going to be that. You know?
You don't want to be overthinking.
I don't want to draw like a big border around the actual creator's head and say, okay, we're not going to go beyond this point.
You kind of get used to the element of how people make their stuff, and it's like,
it takes the fun out of it.
I mean, you can, you know, but
you'll be surprised.
You want that.
That's interesting. We've started a song where every instrument in here has been started a different song at some point. It's keys to start. At some point, some Joey coming up with guitar riff, or at some point, Revere coming up. Maybe he's on the drums, or he's on the beat machine coming up with something, or he got this cool machine over
here. Watch out for that thing. Look out, bro.
This is the classic one. Is that real? That's Michael Jackson's personal?
That's the noisemaker right there. That makes a lot of cool sounds.
I made
sounds.
A song so for that. That's for
serious.
That.
He made a song to
the machine.
He dedicated
a whole song towards it.
That's why you can actually record into the machine, too, there. Get all those tracks.
Those sounds record into the program.
Oh, it's MIDI, so it gets
So I think you can record to the machine,
which is dope because you can adjust it like a wave file. Well, it is a wave file at that point. It's dope. Like, you can bend it.
Nice.
It's a sexy wave file. Also,
I believe it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Waves. A lot of data there. You know.
I mean, you're looking at like
all the gigahertz.
Gigahertz.
44.1. Maybe. So about Buttery? How did Buttery start up?
When Buttery first started, I wasn't even in the room.
We was recording through a microphone. We had just a regular amp. He had the loop pedal, and we was beatboxing. We was trying to find something. Like, he was like, what should we say? The pattern was hot. It was just like, and I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, man, and low key the original kind of hit you a little tighter, but you know, we might release that. But that one, the one that we came up with, was more full and more musical. But it all started out, we was just trying to figure out what to say, and it was like, just say a girl, you, Buttery. We refer to girls as Buttery, you know.
Right.
They slick, man.
Savory, mouth watering.
Mm-hmm. Make things taste better.
Slide on.
Spice of life.
Yeah. So it was on the loop pedal for a few weeks, maybe like a month or maybe even longer than it was on there. And then
it
was just a song on the loop pedal for a little minute. And then we came back and we started working on the project. And we was like, yo, let's start. I think, was that the first song?
Yeah, that was
Buttery
that
was
the
very first song of the project.
Yeah, oh, really?
Buttery was the first song. Okay. For the album. The album is entitled I Was Just Playing By The Way. I don't know if we told you that already, but that's coming soon. But
cool.
Yeah, we started off with that, and then there was a couple more songs that was on the loop pedal, and it just kind of started rolling from there.
Yeah.
So the first song started on there on the loop pedal.
And you all write your verses then?
Oh, yeah, everybody write their own stuff, and we all collectively produce some of the songs. Sometimes some of us may do more than others on a song, because maybe he's just up at 2 in the morning making a beat, and it's fitting with what we're doing, and we might come in and add to it. Some of the songs, some of us may produce it just entirely by itself, and it just fit the groove.
And this is the station here. This is where magic all happens. Okay.
Yeah, it did.
You get the nice.
There's more elements.
You got the Windows computer, you got a Mac, but the main software is in the Windows computer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Windows 7?
Windows 7. It is Windows 7.
Better be on Windows 7. It is Windows, Windows 10. 10. Get away from that stuff.
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah. I think, is that what my mom had?
They gave my mom a virus.
Is that Windows 10?
It is a virus, man. It spies on you. It sends all your information
to
you.
Too much. I don't like
Damn.
Say it's, well, yeah, don't get me talking about that too much more. But yeah, Windows 7 is where you want to be for stability and audio production.
Definitely.
Don't let that shit upgrade.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Well, gosh, so then... See, let's talk about your equipment a little bit you got here. Is that a Focusrite? Direct in?
Yes.
Or like a DI box?
We got a Focusrite, and then we've got this. That's just basically like we hook up the instruments anybody want to plug in, play. Mm-hmm. It's an interface, so you can play your bass in there, your electric guitar. You can play your acoustic in there. We plug the 909 into there also.
You put the mics through that too?
Mm-hmm. The mic is through that also.
And that's USB?
It is USB. And then the speakers are plugged into the back of the studio monitor. So
What brand of studio monitors?
That's a good question.
Generic.
Given from a friend.
Okay,
donation.
Perfect, yes.
Donation
from love.
From
love.
Donate.com.
Oh, yeah. And what's this thing here?
This is called Machine.
Machine? Is that
That's
new?
That changed how I was making beats on Fruit Loops at first, and I got that. And I already had Studio One on my computer because my friend had put it on there. And once I started kind of messing with that, because it comes with a program by itself, and I was just messing with the beat machine, like, in the program by itself at first, and then I found out that it can be in Studio One, and then it just kind of took off from there. So
it integrated with Studio One, like, perfectly, all the buttons and knobs just work.
It's made. I think they kind of packaged together in some places. Like,
that's important. Mm-hmm. If you can, find something that's where the interface, the control surface is integrated already with the software.
I love using that. That's like...
Yeah. So do you play it like an instrument?
We play like drums. He plays more like drums. Like, he'll play all different stuff at one time. Me, I ain't as good a drummer as him, so I'll lay my stuff out one at a time, think about what I'm going to do next. But sometimes, we jam, live too, and he'll be on the drums, and I might be on keys, and Jordan might be playing, or we'll be just, sometimes, like, we do a thing, Music Mondays, and we'll have enough people to play everything, so we'll be having people on the 909 and guitars and people singing and stuff. So
sweet.
I really want to start. I want to start collecting some more, and like just random, like just sounds. Like when I was last time I was in Guitar Center, I was in a drum section, and it's just so many just a little $2 items. I don't want a little egg with sand in it. we use a lot of random stuff around the house too, though.
Like, you guys can do that too, like make a sound, like just record to the mic.
Anything. But I also just want to collect the app.
Some of the sounds in Buttery, didn't you do some?
Yeah, it was like we used like a candle. Yeah. In one of them.
A candle.
A candle on a spoon.
I use a candle.
You hit a candle with a spoon.
I use a drumstick. Because it muffles the sound. Because if you use a spoon, it get a nasty.
It would be this like what? Knock, knock, knock.
It's
knock,
like ding. Knock. But when you get it, it's like.
You know the candle. Not a candle. Like,
it's
candle,
it's a little prettier.
With a glass around it. It's
okay.
Because that would just make a thud.
It's like a kind of glassy.
Yeah.
You hit with a piece of wood.
Let's see.
Girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That motherfucker nasty.
Then you like get a
Yeah.
I play on the keyboard like it's a whole, like it's the keyboard itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. The keyboard is hooked up into, we use the sound of our machine. There's sounds on Studio One, too. We got like too many sounds. Not too many sounds. There's no such thing as too
ain't
many
enough.
Sounds. I don't have nearly enough sounds.
So we're doing vocals. You got the pop filter here that's going through the Focusrite.
Mm-hmm.
And then Like, do you have any problem with your neighbors making noise or anything like that?
We got problems with our neighbors complaining about noise. Oh, yeah. You know what? We're doing it? Cool, man. Hey, I'm gonna say this. I ain't gonna say nobody's name, all right, since we out in the public. But, however, since we're talking about this, we was doing cool. We had the situation running smoothly and fine. We talked to the guy. We said we was gonna, you know, if we needed to turn it down, we could turn it down. But, you know, he's not been, you know, liking. I guess we ain't liking the jams is what's going on. Oh, I think that's what really happened. Like, he's don't like the vibe we on. He was liking the previous songs.
He's like a Kenny Chesney guy.
This batch of songs, he doesn't really like this batch of songs. So now he's like, hey, you need to turn that down.
Well,
now we getting complaints, so we trying to.
It's rattling his floor.
Yeah.
You gotta get his schedule and see when he's not there, but then it sounds like you're gonna rob him. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been around this block a few times. I play drums.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like finding a place like 500 yards from people is really difficult in our society. You know, unless you're gonna be a hermit. But
no, I try to be respectful to him, though, because, you know, everybody's not trying to be a rock star. So I don't be thinking about somebody might be sleeping in the morning or sleeping two in the morning because I don't have that switch.
Right, it's tough. But you gotta be considerate.
Yeah,
be treated like
I try to
be treated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We try to keep it during the day anyway, but like
I would want to be woken up to drums. Like, I feel like I'm treating him how I want to be treated.
Right.
Like, look, he ain't doing it. It's all love.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting better.
No, it's all good. It's all love, dude. Upstairs, it's cool.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, it's like an eternal thing, you know. Like, you can't even get a lease actually if you tell them you're a musician. You have to kind of sneak those instruments in after you sign.
As far as they're concerned, no work at Home Depot.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's all
you
know.
Thank you for that.
Are you guys? Yeah, right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a musician. Oh yeah, I like to play drums and make a huge racket. No, they don't. Yeah, they want to hear you go to a job, come home and sleep, and don't damage their property. That's all they want to hear. But we are human beings with all of these other, with like dreams and aspirations, and you can't have this American dream in this kind of box where you're, you know, you can't bump into a mouse or something like that.
That's how you just gotta work hard to, you know, better your situation, because it's the same place that a large percentage of, you know, the people that we look up to came from the same situation. So you just gotta keep grinding, keep working, and, you know, better your situation, do something about it.
Rent a house next, right? I mean, they're all over the place around here, but you just have to have that application together, because they don't want you to burn it down.
Exactly.
So who are some artists that you guys really admire?
I really like Secondhand King.
Yeah, he dope.
He
Secondhand King is dope.
I don't know if he knows how much I like him yet, and I'm kind of scared.
He's around here?
He's a local artist. He cold.
He's local.
Man.
Yeah.
His stuff is real dope. Cold Shoulders, the song that I heard his single is.
Yeah, he's dope.
Cold Shoulders, man. Yeah, it's dope, man. I like it. But I really like jazz artists, really stem, you know, they get my thing going. You know, like Sun Ra. I like
free jazz.
I like Thelonious. I like Coltrane.
I like Sarah Vaughan.
But Joshua Redman.
Joshua Redman? I ain't heard of him.
Yeah, listen to Joshua Redman. Yeah.
That's heard him.
He's a saxophone player. He was a physicist and he dropped out of graduate school to play the saxophone. His stuff is, if you want to hear one thing that's really famous, is 1996 Spirit of the Moment, Live at the Village Vanguard. It's like a 2-CD show. And all that stuff, you know, just really. The Pirate Bay, Joshua Redman, you know, 5-6 albums, you know, and it's but it's really advanced stuff. He also has a funky album called Boogie Tastic, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, New Orleans artists like John Bazile, stuff like that. I think he's the one that's on Colbert now, you know, like, but I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you guys.
No, I need to write
things
down.
Yeah, you should. Secondhand Kings, I gotta write that down.
Were we talking about local artists?
Anybody who inspires you, man. Like, who would you? Like, there's a couple people.
You know who you gotta say.
I thought it was just local. No.
Whoever.
When it comes to all artists, like. Woo! There's this Japanese band called Tokyo Incidents. And it's hard to listen to music because they don't, like. They take their videos down anytime they're up. I don't know if it's because they're from Japan. I had to order their stuff from eBay. But she just inspired me a lot. And who else? Andre really inspired me too.
What was the Japanese band?
Tokyo Incidents.
Yes, yeah, so they have recordings, but no live shows online.
I think you might be able to find some live shows.
All right. That's a totally different way of it being. Everybody else is like, get my videos out there, get my videos out there. There people are like, there will be no videos. You will come to my show and you're not seeing it.
Come over.
That's what Wu-Tang did for an album, I think. It was like $1 million or something. You could buy it for like $1 million.
Yeah, Wu-Tang did that one, right?
Like, that was crazy.
Also, Prince is the other guy that kind of does that, right? Yeah. You can't have his concert footage posted.
You can't get his songs.
I think it's because
you can get his live footage.
Those are two bands.
A lot of his stuff, he wouldn't agree with singing anymore because of his religious choice.
I like the first person that made me want to make beats was probably Kanye. That made me want to actually make beats. Like, it was people I liked before him too, though. But like, that made me be like, all right, hold up, I want to do that too. That's dope. That was the first person that made me want to make beats.
Kanye?
Yep. And then shortly after that, then I started listening to Skateboard P, Thelonious P, Pharrell, and then I was like, all right, hold up. Gotta reevaluate these guys.
Word. You all listen to Board?
Skateboard B, that's a new one for me.
For real? Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't claim to be. I'm really not.
He don't have everything. To be. He's an expansive musician. Yeah. His stuff is very good.
Sounds true. A little.
I'm sure you've heard some of
his. He did the Despicable Me soundtrack.
I can't say. I didn't see that.
He made How to Hear by Nelly. Hot in Here by Nelly.
It's Hot, of course, yeah.
Stuff you ain't even know.
I do a stand-up comedy joke about that. What is it? The Hot in Here song. Oh, yeah. I was a rapper back in St. Louis. I came from St. Louis, but not many people make it out of there. Mm-hmm. Right? Nelly made it. But it could have been me. It was me versus Nelly in 1997 in a rap-off. He went with his hit, It's Getting Hot in Here, so take off all your clothes. I went with my hit, It's Getting Hot in Here, so plug in your USB-powered CPU cooling fan.
Wow, and then
cool it down a little bit.
That's
and
hot.
Take off. I didn't. Why did I think of that though? Just take off your clothes.
It's hot to take off.
I'm thinking too hard about it.
He was right to the point. He was being too aggressive. I like that one better.
Right. I was thinking impressive with my knowledge of computers and my ability to actually cool things down a little bit.
Yeah, like let's get an AC on maybe.
Taking off your clothes, that implies like
that's like
shed is so much.
Yeah, that's all the problem.
Sweat.
Still sweating, yeah. But yeah, it definitely demonstrates my, you know.
I love Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg also, yeah.
His soul is awesome, man. His funk is, yeah. Snoop Dogg embodies, like, I got a lot of definite inspiration from Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's album, his new album, Bush.
Yeah? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, it was produced by Pharrell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Pharrell.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of songs you probably don't know Pharrell did, but Pharrell did it.
He's been all over the place.
There's so many songs. People don't know. Justin Timberlake, when he left NSYNC, that first album that won a lot of Grammys, the Neptune Pharrell produced them.
Well, he's one of those guys that's, you know, Pharrell is one of those super gifted. Yeah. And Justin Timberlake, actually. I really respect both those guys. That's just, some people have like a gift, and I think that they just kind of coast on it. Mm-hmm. Other people, I can tell, are kind of haunted.
Yep.
By their next thing, it has to be awesome. Otherwise,
yeah, that's what
you're talking about. Like Justin Timberlake, I feel is like that. You know, but compare them to the other, you know, his other contemporaries and his previous groups. You know, and you can just really see, you know, the proofs of the pudding over time.
You can see what
you're made out of.
What about Steely Dan? How you feel about
Steely Dan? They're like Burt Bacharach. They were doing something that nobody else is doing.
Is awesome.
Who? They're writing these
Burt Bacharach
different time signatures in a rock song. Like, who's doing that stuff? It's complicated, complex music that you don't listen to and say, "Oh my gosh, they just switched time signatures there. That was a 3/8 measure." It flows. They're following the melody and then they write all the theoretical stuff after the song's already written.
I don't know who Burt Bacharach was until I saw Austin Powers. Never more than love again. Hey, Burt Bacharach is incredible.
Yeah. He's incredible. That song,
like, he's
crazy.
Got so many songs.
Oh yeah, those guys go way back. What's kind of the, but then they inspire me to be that I can, I'll follow my idea, chase my idea rather than having some set structure that I'm trying to build instead, you know, so I've been working on a rap song, it was like 4 minutes long, and I did like a first demo of it that was just beats and me rapping over it, then I was like, there has to be so much more stuff in this, but then I would hear it and I could be like, okay, I heard it first, and then I put the beat with the words, and in ways that it, you just chisel it down to follow your idea rather than, okay, then this is going to be here and this is going to be here.
Precisely, because nobody's heard it yet. And so sometimes in our minds we feel that it's so solidified. It's like, dang, it has to go this way. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, you can put that on the back burner and work on it as you go. Mm-hmm. And like, I see a lot of the more I listen to artists, I can hear editing. Like, you know, I can hear more and more each time I hear like different songs, and it's like, dang, that's so clean, and that all you get is the beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can hear the editing, but like the editing is fun to hear because it's so clean. You know, and like. What about Stereo Lab? You like them?
Of course. It's been a couple of years since I've heard their stuff, but they would have these like really long like electronic sets that you can listen to and stuff. Yeah.
Cake.
Cake. They're doing their own thing. There's nobody else is doing what they're doing. Their song, all their songs sound a little bit similar, but still, I would go to their dance parties.
They sound. I love Amy Winehouse.
She was the real thing. And there was nobody else doing that at the time. Nobody it was like else. Classic and futuristic. I mean, I like Lorde a lot, LCD Sound System.
She does.
If I could trade places with any artist, well, I'm going to ask you guys that too. Like, anybody that you kind of just like admire so much that you kind of wish you were them just a little bit. Mm. You know?
Don't do this, man.
I do. I say it.
I kind of just wish I could be Bruce Springsteen for one of his shows. Just have like get away people. With it.
One show.
Maybe we were born to ride. Just like belted out for this whole stadium of people with like this full band going. That would be cool.
That would be dope.
Yeah, but I can't be Bruce Springsteen.
That's a toughie though. If I could be an artist for one show, if you could be an artist for one show, who could it be? See, that's a different question, though, too.
It is. Totally different question. It's kind of like the person you most admire. You know, I'm like, secretly, I'm like, gosh, Bruce Springsteen, you're too cool, man. Stop being so cool.
Also, listen to me. Me in his shoes. I know all the lyrics and shit. I could do Hope easy.
Go ahead.
Hope would be easy.
It's between Mike.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
Like, if I could do that, what?
You could sing like that and dance like that? Oh, man. Boy, right. Like Frank Sinatra, I kind of.
If I can walk around dressing like a prince, yes. And the other one would have to be Pharrell.
Yeah.
Because he's real dope, too. Because it had to be, just because he plays instruments, and like, it just seems like that'd be fun to get down in front of.
Right. Yeah. Like Prince does also. He's a little weird for me to want to trade places with him.
Yeah.
I definitely, because I want to see what's going on in 24 hours with him.
Yeah, really. It's daylight.
I want to know.
For a day, it'd be fun. Just to follow Prince around. That was kind of what Chappelle was joking around. You know, would you like pancakes?
Yeah. He cold, though. You can serve me pancakes.
Right. The fruity picks, man. That was fun. Well, all right. So, what about you, Joey? It's kind of the person you most admire.
Man, a little bit. Yeah, I've been thinking this whole time trying to figure out who.
Yeah, you've been lost in thought.
Lost. Lost. I think the closest thing might be it would have to be between Andre and Pharrell.
Three stacks.
It's what I respect is people who can define a whole sound and continue to define new sounds.
Mm-hmm.
They understand what I call it, the funk.
Mm-hmm.
And the funk can be in more things than one. It can be in rock. It can be any genre.
Yeah.
As long as you make a whole new sound that when people listen to, for example, Cake
funk
has...
Funk is enclosed,
Cake,
too.
Huh?
My bad, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I know you're going to continue. Go ahead. I thought you were about
to talk. Expand more on this. Really, this is important.
And funk, to me, funk is truth. What is truth? Truth is... Funk is something that no matter what, you have to accept it. You can actually hate the genre or whatever you listen to, but you recognize the funk is there.
It's got a groove, makes you want to move. You can't help but get into it, like the happy song or whatever.
You can even hate it, but you recognize it that it's individuality. Like, what's that band? I don't like the one. You know somebody. What's that?
I need somebody.
I hate that song. I genuinely hate that song. But
I don't like that.
But I recognize that
I like that song.
It has funk though, and so I respect it for that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. But the ability to do that and to still create other things.
You don't like that song, man.
I'm sorry. I
you know
this.
That I could use someone.
That's a hot topic.
Does that make sense, though?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Right. Well, as an artist, you want your stuff to have an impact that's pre-intellectual, and with something that's funky. I think it's truly got a groove to it. You know, it's universally human that someone will have a pre-intellectual feeling, emotion about it. To pull it out of you. And that means people who would otherwise hate you, that would be the coolest thing, wouldn't it? Some people who every other day of the week they hate you for whatever your political beliefs are or the genetics that you have or whatever. But then you start rocking it out over here and where they can't see your face, don't have any idea who you are, and the funk is so awesome that they are drawn to it and they start dancing to it, and then after they've been dancing an hour they look up and they see this person that they hate. Has been bringing that the whole time.
I should be able to play my stuff in the Philippines, and some little Filipino has no idea what the song is saying, but he's dancing.
Yeah.
However Filipinos dance. I don't know. I've never seen
the Brazilian tribes. We haven't even encountered civilization. The speaker playing that out in the jungle. They're like, that's that means funk in their language.
I've sampled Brazilian music when I was coming up. Stupendous.
I did too.
Grew quite a bit from that.
It's a whole the samba, how they take they see the samba as we see
blues, I love these horns.
Or rock. It's this whole thing, a whole genre of music. We have rock, jazz, and blues, basically. Rock, jazz, one way or the other. But then they have a whole other category. It's samba.
It's very spicy. When they add the rock element.
They know how to get down and party. I mean, going to Brazil and studying a samba school for a while. I mean, that's on my bucket list. But it'd be isn't it climbing Mount Everest or something like that? Is for some people. Because I studied marching band drums and I've done all this stuff. I can play basic Latin jazz. But if I went down there and they handed me a conga, they would just make fun of me. Okay, hold your hand like this to get the best sound of it. I'd be like a fifth grader or something again. Whereas I've studied drums my whole life. And that kind of beginner's mind where you go back, see it again for the first time. Humbling. It's important for art, I think.
Definitely. It gives you that childlike view again. When you step outside and you hear something that it's oh, that's too big. That's too big for anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
You cower down a little bit for a day or so.
Right, yeah.
What was the first kind of art you was doing?
Oh, me? I wrote stories in elementary school, but I started playing snare drum in sixth grade.
Snare drum.
Yeah, and so I played orchestral and then got into marching band. I was the snare drum section leader and got into competitions and just the snare drum with those big ass sticks.
The heavy boys.
And I carried it around. We had parades all over the VP Fair and stuff in St. Louis. I carried that snare drum all over St. Louis.
Cool.
That was in the early 90s. So, but then, I was in denial for a while. I was wanting to be an artist, so I kind of shot myself in the foot there for a while and pursued an engineering degree. And then after 4 years of engineering, I was that was when I got that feeling where there's something missing here, I'm always sitting here thinking of these cool things that should exist that don't, and no one's doing it.
Yeah.
And then I just had to say, okay, I've got to do stand-up comedy. I've got to get out there and talk. I've got to write these screenplays and stories. And a lot of that was,
LSD. That's something we're going to get into also.
Drugs changed my life, LSD and stuff like that. It really broke down a bunch of walls and stuff.
Yeah.
That my parents and, not really intentionally, or the school, all the walls that get built inside you in school. Mm-hmm. In my 20s, I was 22, 23, and they just all of a sudden, all the stuff that I really just didn't care about at all, I was able to just shed it all down and be like, okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna create this stuff now, and all this other stuff I do to make money is really just fuzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's what I think it was for me too. Is when you're in the box, and no one else can see out the window, but for some reason you have this huge window and you can see outside of it, and you can see all the possibilities, and you're forced to reconcile with the fact that you're sitting down at a desk when you could be outside running,
or you're in an auditorium and someone's saying something idiotic. And you want to criticize them, and everyone else is just sitting there going like this.
But agreeing with it, exactly, yeah.
And if if you don't stand up and say this rational, sane, smart thing, then no one else will.
Or how about, maybe that's what it is, it's when somebody tells you, hey, you're dumb, you don't understand how the world works. You don't understand the principles. My principles are right, because I'm in here at the podium. But you're like, no, outside it doesn't work like that, gravity doesn't work like that in the outside.
We live in an economic system that's reductionist. It wants us to see you as like a, you know, just what you get where you get your paycheck from. So mm-hmm. you're just Home Depot guy. You know, the Charles Gross thing does not exist to capitalism mm-hmm. until we make capitalism recognize it by making money. According to capitalism, but we have the choice to have a culture that is a subculture of capitalism where we can have a totally different value system. You know, whatever we think is cool, like, and so. Reality of it is whatever you devote your life to is what you are. What you spend your time doing is what you are.
Mm. Yeah.
And my uncle once told me, he said, Joey, whatever you do, become amazing at it. And simply for the fact that you became amazing at it, people will pay you. Mm-hmm. People will come to see you for whatever it is you do good.
That's real.
A fool who persists in his folly will become wise. Ever heard that one?
Wow. I've never heard that one.
That's a good one.
It's Chinese. You know,
see, I'm going to persist in my folly.
Yeah, I read a book called The Mastery of Love, and it just addresses, like, just generally, you know, everything that you try or that you focus in on that you master, you know. Mm-hmm. So it could very well be hate, you know.
So the 10,000 hours thing. You only have so many 10,000 hours. You know, by the end of your life, it's going to be decided. You know, so every day, you've got to be mm-hmm. building that pie chart where mm-hmm. it shows, like, the thing that you love is consuming your time. And, you know, things like video games, for instance, sometimes encroach a little bit on that for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. I've gotten pretty disciplined. So when I lose a job, like, I lost my job, and I'm on unemployment now since the end of the year. But I said, this is my time to make my stuff, and I'm not going to waste this. And so I'm, you know, getting carpal tunnel from working all the stuff in Ableton Live. And I've got it done. It feels great, you know, that I've been able to get this, you know, podcast going, talking with you guys. Mm-hmm. I've been out at the open mic, you know, getting, you know, just like you guys, getting a positive response. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and then the best feeling you can really have is that you're going in the right direction, even if it's small steps.
Yeah, I want to say I really like your stuff, by the way.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah. The level of professionalism on it, like, you seems like you should already have your own show somewhere. Like, in Branson, just a show.
I'm talking about playing, though. Like, when I saw you play, like, your playing and
songwriting
your delivery.
Yes. At some point.
It made me get serious.
A little bit of... a little bit. See, I don't remember songs. I remember
all about you. All you've got to do is the one, the call and response one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was dope.
Guys, flatter me. Thanks for saying such kind things. It means a lot to me. You know, so for a lot of time, like for 2 years, those songs, I was just, you know, whittling them down. You know, like no one had heard them, but me, I was like, no, this song is like the best stuff I've
done. That's when you look outside the box. Mm-hmm. When you know that you know the principles that work outside, and you got to show everybody, hey, look, I can rock something.
There's all these voices. No, it won't make any difference to go to the open mic. Yeah. You know, everyone's just going to make fun of you. They'll be like, yeah, you're at that level and whatnot. And I'd be like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to rock this stuff, and I'm going to record it. It doesn't make any difference if it's at an open mic or if it's not. And and also, it's a community of people that are supporting each other.
Without a doubt.
And we're all in the same boat where there's these people who only take things seriously that are in People magazine that we have to kind of stand up against and say, you know, we're going to do our thing.
Mm-hmm. Likeness draws likeness. Yeah. And so if people come out, like the more that we come out to the arts bar, the more that you get serious about your cap, you come in there and you be the one person that come in there like, hey, man, I'm about to give it all. Like, People will follow that and like automatically because that's the likeness that you draw out, you know, and nothing else, you know. Other things will come in, you know, but they'll see that they have to, you know, work on their stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and you know it's the first interview was with Jackson Harper. You probably met him. He sings kind of country music at the open mic. Wears cowboy hat a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yep, he got the mustache.
Right. Yep. He's like my first interview. Yeah, I offered to play drums for him, and he was like, you know, because he said, well, what if you were to criticize me and say, I was like, I really can't, man. Your stuff is together. You've worked on your voice. You've worked on your songs. You've worked on your stage presence. You've worked on your guitar playing. I wouldn't offer to play drums for you if I didn't think you were already there. I'm not gonna lug my drum set around and stand behind some joker. You know. Mm-hmm. A joker. I mean, I'm like, you know, comedian, but or some guy who's gonna make fun. You know, it'd be embarrassing. But not. But at the same time, we wrote this song. There was this guy that we were talking about that was at the open mic, and he just sang this one 7-minute long song that didn't connect with anybody, didn't have a melody, all these problems with it, you know. But at the same time, you know, so even though we're like plugging our ears, walk out the room, like, you know, that guy has earned his place on the stage, you know. He's on his artistic path. Mm-hmm. We're not going to shut him down and make fun of him or something like that. Yeah. Like, he shouldn't be there. Yeah. Stop doing it. Like, we're in some kind of zero-sum game for the last artistic spot in the world or something.
Yeah, man.
You know, then as he develops, then in 10 years from now, you know, maybe he'll be doing stuff that moves us. Mm-hmm. I think that was something also that Joss Whedon said. Who was it that wrote that? There's a cartoon, I think Joss Whedon said it as well, that if you discourage an artist, you get nothing.
Exactly.
You know, if you encourage an artist, you get all of the wonderful things in the world. Like, mm-hmm. You know, all those possibilities.
I wrote a post on my Facebook, and it was like, art is never bad. Not if it serves its purpose for its creator. Mm-hmm. If he expressed himself through that song that we didn't like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did. I'm sure.
He did it for you.
He was feeling it, you know, but you sound like you got asthma. You gotta keep at it, you know. But it's valid art. I'm not gonna.
You guys gotta remember where you came from too, because I wasn't his greatest performer. I used to be the one on stage, ran out of breath. You know what I'm saying? So you know when I see stuff too, it's like, that's where I came from.
You gotta motivate.
You gotta keep going.
I spent 3 years in Los Angeles, and it kind of had that effect on me. Did you guys watch Saturday Night Live? Did you ever see the Californians? Where they have the big mirror, and they're always like, go back to where you belong. That's what the Californians are. And people in California can really be like that. Like, you belong back in the Midwest. You know, get out of here. You're not pro level and stuff like that. And that's, I just have to just, I want to, that's it's an idea that I always want to stand up and just be like, enough of that.
That's not what this country's about. Level,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, people, you know, just because you are on a pedestal don't mean that. You just are seen more often.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Some of the best people have been rejected. Walt Disney was rejected because he didn't have imagination. According to the Star. The Star said that. You don't have enough imagination. Steve Ray Vaughan was booed. Because everybody wanted the normal sounding blues, and he had something bound to come. He had weird stuff.
Like, the stories just go on. Like, if you're an artist, so, and everyone from the first day is just like, what's going on there? You must have a lot of money, I guess. But let's start to wrap it up here, and we'll make something. But how do you guys define your success? You know, what's it going to look like for childish adults in a couple of years? You know, where do you want to be?
Everywhere. You want to reach the kid.
When it comes to like defining success, I feel like we're successful now. You know, because you know, at least for me personally, my goal is to make music and, you know, make songs that people can dance to, people love, and that, you know what I'm saying, people can vibe with and understand, and it can help them, it can heal them, it could make them think about a sad time, or, you know, just to help, you know, be a contribution to some positive solutions and some smiles and some good times. So I feel like, you know, that's what I came to do, and that's what is happening now, you know. So the only other thing that happens is that I can be able to have my voice reach further, you know, and that's by getting more fans, making this thing bigger. But that's all that's all I'm trying to do is just, you know, be a light, be positivity.
Do you want to sign with a label? Do you want to be your own label? Are you trying to invent your own business model?
Well, it's actually Midnight Cypher is my label that, you know, we're getting, that's under the works right now. I won't say that, you know, the possibilities of anything are, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, you know, kind of at this point. We're trying to start, you know, independently doing our own thing. I've kind of personally tried that route. And, you know, it just kind of seems like if you don't have, like, a good fan base, that might not be, per se, the best route for you. Yeah. If you really want to be on a major, I would say that this process still has to happen of building up your own core fan base before you come step to them. Because if you step to them with nothing, they got to put all this stuff into you to build it up. And you could do that yourself and save yourself some money.
That's what I'm, you know, we want to direct more towards, because it's like owning a building, you know. It's just because you own a building, everything inside of it you own. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, just because we do this, you know, we make hot music, you know, and we are inside of that building. It's like they eat more than we do, you know. So it's just, We want, you know, everybody deserves fairness for what they do.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say I'm gonna say I would never do a deal with a major label, but it has to be right, it has to be correct, you know, it has to be something beneficial for both of us, not 80% beneficial for you and 20% beneficial for me, and then 80% of me and the whole.
And a bunch of shady gray area that's getting paid off all over the place.
It's really just you need to do your own hard work.
Yeah.
It may take a little longer. You might have to sweat more, but that's all right. That's okay.
So I wonder, fame doesn't seem to serve the famous a lot of the time. You know, it ends up with all this. And then you end up where everyone knows you as a rapper, but I wonder if really the main thing you do is rapping or, a lot of the time with people. I would like to, I think you guys are at a spot with your demos, the album that you're self-producing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you could, you're about where I'm at, where I do want to kind of go to put on a show at Branson, I would be able to dress up and do my funny songs and stuff like that. But I would also like to go to, Bonnaroo or, a festival and play those B stages, get out there. And that's how you build up kind of a resume and people can hear you on a national scale instead of...
Yeah.
Well, you have to have those recordings together first.
Yep,
without a doubt.
How many days? So, in your album right now, where are you at?
Yeah. Oh, well, we've finished. We do a dry recording of the whole album here before we go to an actual professional studio and start spending money. So we've finished all the songs. Now we're just in the process of going, getting it re-recorded in kind of the better facility.
So you use the same electronic instruments, but you want to do all.
No, we don't. Once the songs, we make the musical part of it here. The instrumental part is made here. And once it's made here, we're simply just taking files over to the studio for that to get mixed. And then we'll re-record the vocal part of it at the studio on a better mic and a better sound. The room that has better, acoustics in it to pick it up and get
what's
the best
the model?
Possible sound.
You're not ever going to be able to get the $3,000 isolation booth sound.
Right.
Outside of that room right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do 95% of the rest of the work somewhere else.
Yeah.
But they're going to remix all your electronic instruments beforehand to make them sound pro and get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, do the mixing and mastering process.
It's a lot. But it's we got the files.
What is that? With the ratios, what do they call it? Compression? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I never figure it out, right?
It's tough.
But they'll make it sound radio good from your standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to balance everything
out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do you have somebody who's lined up to work with you, or are you still picking out a place?
As far as
what studio you go to?
We got a couple of spots.
We've been recording at Unlabeled Studios. They're right on Westport. That's my guy Steven Cooper. That's his label. We've been recording there, and then we haven't recorded any of this project, but maybe some of the other songs possibly could be recorded with Jazz. He's at 64111 Studios. He's real dope. I work with him a lot. He mixed my last project, Groupies Versus Love. Not Groupies Versus Love. My homie N-Dot mixed that one, but he mixed my first project, Red Light Runners. And, I like how that came out a lot. And he's mixed some singles and different stuff we did. We've been working with him for a long time. So there's a couple good cats in town. We're going to kind of, just see how it goes, who we got a good groove with,
Well, it sounds like you guys have a plan. Thanks so much for, being open with what's going on with
you
guys.
Man, thank you,
man.
Thank you. We appreciate this, man, for real.
Yeah, well, I've had a good time. And then let's sit around a little bit, see if we can think of something we can put together that we can post next to the podcast that we collaborate on. Yeah,
okay.
All right, good deal.
All right.